Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.
Another live Monday. Well, you have tuned in to LoveRadioNetwork.com. This is the Final Authority. The Final Authority, we air live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so today we'll be dealing with the subject in question form: is Jesus who he said he is? The claims of Christ we'll look at. Just who is this person called Jesus, and the claims he made, is he truly who he said he is? And so we're going to say a word of prayer real quickly, get right back to giving you off the number and giving you some information. We're going to proceed from there. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. Acknowledging you as the living true God, Most High God, our Father, source, provider, and giver of life. We thank you for another day. Thank you for those who have tuned into the program, Father, and those who are tuned into the archives and listen to this particular message about your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Father, we thank you. We ask you to open our eyes and grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ and in the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. Your will be done, and may Christ be exalted and glorified. In the name of our beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray, so be it, and amen. Okay, all right, so we're going to deal with the subject matter in question form: is Jesus who he said he is? Now, to know who he said he is, you would have to know what he said. And how are you going to know what he said if you don't read the scriptures as to the contemporary witnesses who documented the sayings, the teachings, and the doings of this person called Jesus the Christ? Well, if you have a question, or you want to make a comment, or maybe you want to express a different view than the host, which happens to be me, please feel free to call in. Pardon me. The area code to call in is 516-531-9623. For your question, comment, or what have you, you can call the area code 516-31-9623. After you are connected, at any point in time, you can hit the number one, press number one on your phone. And then my producer will connect you to my show, and I will welcome you to the Final Authority for your question, comment, or what have you, okay? All right, also want to mention that if you have a desire to support the Final Authority, you can just scroll down, go to www.loveradionetwork.com. Love is L-U-V, radionetwork.com. Scroll down and to the Final Authority, and you'll see the site where you can donate whatever you want to contribute. And we want to thank you for any contribution you make. I happen to have someone tell me they couldn't go online to do it, so they have ended up giving me a check to support that ministry, so it will be going toward that particular program, the Final Authority. Okay, all right, so let's get to it. Is Jesus who he said he is? So we look at down through history, we see people who have made claims about certain things, and there are people who are what is called imposters. You know, we have people who are false teachers, false prophets, or what have you. People who make claims and to be something that they really are not. And so, as we look at actual writings of the Old Testament prophets and the apostles, these holy men that were set apart and sanctified, we look at those who documented, who were the contemporary witnesses of Christ, who walked with him, and they recorded his sayings. And let me give you I'm going to give you our foundational text in a moment, and that's St. John chapter 14, verse 6. St. John chapter 14, verse 6. And so what I want to do is I'm going to read something, first of all, out of St. John chapter 1. Okay, in St. John chapter 1. Now, in St. John chapter 1, this book is known as the writings of John. John was one of the contemporary apostles of Christ, who walked with Christ. And he makes a statement in verse 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, John says that the Word was in the beginning with God, face to face with God, and the Word was by very nature God. He says, verse 14, "The Word was made flesh," so the Word was made flesh, took upon human form. All right? Prior to the Word taking on human form, the Word was with the Father in what we call eternity past. And so John says, the Word was made flesh, and John says, and dwelt among us. So the Word tabernacled in human flesh, took upon human form, and John was a contemporary who walked with the living Word that was with the Father that was made flesh. And then he says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The term "only begotten" there comes from a Greek word, and the Greek word is monogenes, and it means one of a kind, unique in its kind, in its relationship to. And so we'll deal with that most likely a little bit later in our teachings today, but here, the only begotten of the Father, unique because he has the same unique nature and essence of his Father. He's divine by very nature, thus God in human form. Now, with that said, we're going to read St. John chapter 14, and we're going to go through 1 through 6. All right, St. John chapter 14, 1 through 6. Now, if you don't have your Bible, by all means, you can write the text down. St. John chapter 14. So Jesus here in this particular text is speaking with his disciples. And he has spent about 3.5 years with them. And so he's about to depart and to go back to be with his Father. All right. And so he says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And where I'm going, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Now, those words in verse 6, notice what he says. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by or through me." Now, that's a very profound statement. He makes claim that he is the way. He did not say, "I am a way." He said, "the way," which would then exclude anyone else from being the way. He did not say, "I am one of many ways." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we have to look at this. Jesus was well aware of all of the religious beliefs of the time. He was well aware of all of the different things that people had believed. But here, he makes a very bold and a clear statement about himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, that includes you and me, can come to the Father but through Christ. This is what Christ is saying here. So we're going to look at his claims. What makes his claim true? Is his claim true? How can we determine whether or not what he said is so? Now, when I ask the question, is Jesus who he said he is? The reason why I say who he said he is, not so much who he was, because according to the biblical revelation of Scripture, Jesus Christ, the unique Son of the living God, is yet alive right now. Now, we'll go over that because we see when we go through the Scriptures that not only was he supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin to take upon human flesh, walk the earth in perfect obedience to the Father. And we see ultimately that he went throughout the synagogues of the Jews, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and the works that he did with substantial, overwhelming, irrefutable evidence of miracles upon miracles which could not be denied. It all pointed that his claims was backed up by the things that he had did. Now, let me give you an example. Come with me to St. John chapter 3. I want to show you something here in St. John chapter 3. In St. John chapter 3, we have a dialogue going on between a notable man by the name of Nicodemus and Jesus. And so in St. John chapter 3, I'll start reading at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. And the word rabbi means master teacher, because Jesus was a rabbi teacher throughout Israel. So it says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you are doing except God be with him. Now, you have the religious establishment of the Pharisees. And this man who was a ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus, he was a part of the Pharisees. And he had a meeting in the evening at night with Jesus. And he's speaking from a point of experience, knowledge, what he knew. No man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Now, in the process, I want you to read the rest on your own. I'm going down to verse 14. Jesus is still here speaking to Nicodemus. And he says to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent. So he's talking about Moses. So he's going to the writings of Moses. That's mentioned in the book of Numbers 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he, God, gave his only begotten, his unique Son, one of a kind, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world through him, his Son, might be saved. He that believeth on him, on the Son, is not condemned or judged. But he that believeth not is condemned or judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now here we see very clearly in Jesus communicating with Nicodemus, and he's referring to himself as the Son of God. So he's acknowledging himself as the Son of God, but not only just as the Son of God, notice, the only begotten Son, unique. Why? Because he has the exact same nature and essence of his Father, that he by very nature is divine. Tell us about in verse 14, Moses lifted up the serpent, so was also the Son of Man. So he's the Son of God, and yet he's the Son of Man. What is meant by the Son of Man? He's fully God and fully man. He's God manifested in human form And now he's known in the earth as Jesus, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. He says, Moses lifted up the serpent. Well, here, when he said lift up the serpent, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus is referring to the fact that he was going to be crucified. Now, what's unique about this is the fact that the Jews didn't practice crucifixion. They practiced stoning. That was their way of capital punishment. It was the Romans that practiced crucifixion. And so we'll deal with that later, but Jesus knew exactly how he was going to die. And so anyway, he goes on and says, verse 16 again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So Jesus is acknowledging his unique relationship to the Father, and that he was sent by the Father to be the Savior of the world, verse 17. Who is this Jesus? Who is he? Now, let me go back a little bit. Now, in St. John chapter 1, there's a prophet, a well-known and respected prophet in Israel by the name of John. And they call him John the Baptist because he practiced baptism, okay? And so we see over in verse 28, we see John was baptizing people. And, well, let me take you back over into actually verse 19. And this is the record of John. All right, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him as Jesus, here's the question, who are you? And he confessed. So they're asking John, and John confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, no, I'm not. Are you that prophet? And he says, no. Then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What do you say of yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, why are you baptizing then if you are not Christ or Elijah or you're not that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. John here is acknowledging that he's the forerunner of the Messiah, and that he's coming before the Messiah, and he's making a way to announce the coming of the Messiah to Israel. And so in verse 29, it says, in the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I coming, baptizing with water. John bore record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode or rested upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remain on, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bore record that this is the Son. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, John said, behold, the Lamb of God. So here is John, respected as an authentic, genuine prophet of Jehovah God. And he announced the coming of the Messiah. He was the forerunner. And he acknowledged that this Messiah is the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sin of the world. He acknowledged that this Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world is the Son of God. All right? So we see that. Then we see going on in chapter 3 where Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so Jesus is making this claim also that he is the unique Son of God. Absolutely, no doubt. Now, let me take you to St. John chapter St. John chapter 4. And we'll start reading at verse 19, okay? So in St. John chapter 4, we'll be doing a lot of reading today. Jesus had went to Samaria, and he ended up dialoguing with a woman at a well. There was a well. She came to draw water out. And Jesus began to communicate with her, and he began to reveal some things to her about her life. And after dialoguing for a moment, because she was a Samaritan, and the Jews and Samaritans didn't have any dealings with each other. But Jesus went to go break that barrier and bridge a gap between the Jews and the Samaritans. All right? So, after Jesus began to expose some things to her, supernaturally she said these words. Verse 19, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, the Anointed One. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So here, Jesus communicating with the Samaritan woman, and they had knowledge, Samaritan had knowledge of a coming Messiah, the one of whom the prophets of old had foretold that would come to bring salvation and redemption. And here is the Messiah now speaking to the woman and after dialoguing with Christ, and now she sees clearly that, wait a minute, the Messiah is going to come, wait. And then Christ said, I am he that speak with thee. And so then she became convinced of the reality of the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, to come to be, to bring redemption. So we see that there. Now, I'm going to take you now to St. John chapter 6. And St. John chapter 6. St. John chapter 6, I'm going to read this one particular verse here, verse 38. Jesus said, for I came down from heaven to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, he said he came down from heaven. In order for him to come down from heaven, he had to first of all be there in heaven, because he can't come down from where he is not. He said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Well, going back to chapter 3, Jesus said that God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why? He's the way of salvation. So when we read a little earlier, St. John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. He is the absolute unique way. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, the will of him that sent me. Now, so we got that verse there. Now, I'm going to take you on a little further. I'm going to, real quickly, I'm going to go to St. John chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 69. And this is where Peter makes a statement. He says, we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, there were so many overwhelming evidences that kept pointing to Jesus as the Messiah, thus the unique Son of God. And so here, when we go back to St. John chapter 4, about the woman who was dialoguing with Jesus, the woman of Samaria, the Samaritan woman, Well, she was convinced that Jesus was the Christ. And when you read the whole chapter, she went out and proclaimed to all the men of the city, come see a man that told me all things. It's not just the Christ. And so they came, and she pointed all of them to Christ, and they came and heard from Christ themselves. And they said, we believe, not because of your word only, but we have heard him ourselves. So they came to believe on Jesus as the Christ. Not only did he make the claims, but we're going to show you in a moment that all his claims were truly backed up. The overwhelming evidence of Jesus being the Messiah, whom the Father God sent, who was foretold by the Old Testament prophets throughout all of the Old Testament scriptures. Okay, so now I'm going to take you to chapter 7. Well, actually, chapter 7. Let me do chapter 7. St. John chapter 7. It'll break up in just a moment. Let me just keep on going here real quickly. 10 John chapter 7, and I want to look at verse 37. Jesus was at a feast, and it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, is this the prophet? Of a truth, this is the prophet? Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Wow, this is pretty heavy. Now, what we'll show you here, at this feast, Jesus makes a proclamation, and it says, believing on him as the scripture has said. So scripture then must point to him as being the Messiah. Believing on him as the scripture has said, there's something supernaturally that takes place. It's a spiritual manifestation. He says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus is talking about the work and power of the Spirit in your life. So notice in verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Some said, wait a minute. Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said, so they're going by the scripture, the writing of the Old Testament prophets, that Christ cometh, watch this, of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Absolutely. So there was a division. Some people said, wait a minute, is he the prophet? Is he the Christ? Some said, well, he's the Christ. Some said, well, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Well, Christ didn't come out of Galilee per se. Christ actually was born in Bethlehem. He came from eternity, physically born by the Spirit through the womb of a virgin in Bethlehem. He did a lot of work in Galilee. Some had a faulty view of him, saying, oh, out of Galilee. No, he did go to Galilee. Of course he did, because he was teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom in Galilee. All right? But, well, we're going to pick back up right where we're leaving off right now. I'll pick up right after break. Stay tuned in to the final authority, and we will see you right after the break.
Come on, let's praise his name.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.
All right, a network of love. Well, listen, that song that you just heard a moment ago is called Oh Magnify the Lord. Yes, Jesus is my rock. That song was by Jonathan Butler. Okay, Oh Magnify the Lord. Over here in St. John chapter 7, where they had different views about the person known as Jesus. All right, so some are saying, well, is he the prophet? And some says, well, no. Others said, well, this is the Christ. They had the perception that this is the Christ. And some said, well, if he's the Christ, shall he come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Well, when you look at the text of scripture, you can see some people can be confused. It's like even today, some people are confused. Some people will say that, well, pardon me, Jesus, well, we believe in the historical person of Christ. We do believe that he was a teacher and a prophet. We believe he was a good man. But then they turn around and say, well, we deny that he's the Son of God. All right? And so if he's a good man, but you say that he's not the Son of God, but yet he made the claims to be the Christ, the Son of God, and since he made the claim that he's the Son of God and that he came from the Father, then how could he be a good man if he's lying? Either he is who he said he is or he is not. So you can't have it go, he's a good man and a good teacher, and then deceive people that he is the Son of God, because all these people believe that he is the Son of God. Many of them did, but several people followed him and followed his teachings, and many of them became martyrs for following the biblical Messiah, Jesus the Christ. So is he who he said he is? Well, we see that very clearly. There was overwhelming evidence of that being the case. But dealing with this particular text, we see that the question came, well, does not the scripture say that Christ cometh of the seed of David? Yes. Out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Yes. You'll read that in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. That out of Bethlehem, it was out of Bethlehem he came. When you read that he's of the seed of David, clearly revealed in Psalms chapter 132, verse 11. All right, so we see that very clear. So that's where the Messiah will come. He would be of the seed of David, and he would come out of Bethlehem. He comes from eternity, from everlasting, and he would be born in Bethlehem, and out of there he'll come. And so some folks who didn't know where he came from assumed he came out of Galilee because he spent a lot of time in Galilee. And out of Galilee, he went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Okay? Now, I want to go to St. John chapter 8 now, verse 51. In St. John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to these a number of Jews and a number of the religious leaders. And Jesus made a profound statement. He says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying. Now when he says my sayings, that's a reference to his teaching. And he just finished teaching a number of things about his relationship with the Father, that he's the one that set you free from sin. He's the Son that sets you free. He's the truth personified in human form. All right, so he broke a lot of things down to them. And he says that he honors his Father. Then he says, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. What did Jesus mean by that? That's a powerful statement. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets are dead. And you say, if my saying, he shall never taste death. So So again, when you read the Gospel of St. John, you'll read throughout the whole book, there are several things and statements that Jesus had made. He was so misunderstood on so many occasions, but he clears things up. But it's so amazing how a lot of statements that he made, they just did not get it. Okay? And so here, it says, wait a minute. You said the person that believed in you, well, what about Abraham, the father of faith? What about the prophets of Jehovah? And you coming here now, you saying that if a man keep your sayings, you'll never taste death? So what are you saying? Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? What are you making of yourself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Wow. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So now here, this is very powerful, because Jesus made such a statement that it so stirred them up that they literally wanted to stone him to death. And the statement that he made was, before Abraham was, I am. What is this claim here? Well, you'll see that in the Old Testament, namely in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where the Lord God had appeared to Moses, and in the form of a what we call a burning bush, there was the glory of God there manifested in the form of fire, and the Lord God spoke to Moses, and he said, I am, I am. Wow. Who are you? I am that I am. So Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And here it appears as if he's saying that he pre-existed even before Abraham, that he is the I am in the Old Testament writings of Moses. Wow. And so because they rejected him as being God manifested in human form, and they rejected that and they looked at him just as a man, that would be called blasphemy, that if he was not God, but he's God manifested in human flesh, and they wanted to stone him because they didn't accept his testimony. Okay? Now, real quickly, I'm going to take you to St. John chapter 10. We'll go there, and I'll just start at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Wow, he's talking about resurrection. No man taketh it, my life, from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power or authority to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. In other words, he have resurrection power. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for this saying. And many of them said, he has a demon. He's mad. He's crazy. Why want to hear him? Others said, these are not the words that of a man that has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? That made them think. Because Jesus opened the eyes of people that were literally blind. And it was known in Jerusalem. And it was at the Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was the winter during this time. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him. They kind of circled around him. And they said to him, "How long are you going to make us to doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." If you are the Christ. Now, we already saw that not only did acknowledge Jesus as being the Christ, the Messiah. We saw the woman at the well and the people over there in Samaria. We see Peter makes the claim in chapter 6 that we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so now here, it was known. The word passed out. Now they're saying, how long are you going to make us to doubt? Okay, check out Jesus' reply to this, though. They're pretty deep here. How long are you going to make us to doubt? Tell us. Tell us plainly. Just tell us plainly. Are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Let me start right there. That's verse 25, St. John chapter 10. Jesus said, "Listen, I told you, and you believe not." Not only did he tell them, but what did he say after that? "The works that I do in my Father's name." Remember that we read earlier in St. John chapter 3, where Nicodemus goes to Jesus and says, "We know that you are a teacher who come from God. No man can do the miracles that you are doing except God be with him." They knew it. It was God putting his approval and showing evidence that this is his son, the Messiah. In fact, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 38, as Peter was proclaiming the message of Christ to a household of Gentiles, he says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil." God was with him. Okay? So the ministry of Christ was known throughout Israel, Jerusalem, and spreading abroad, even among the Gentile people, about the work that Christ had done. So it was undeniable seeing all the miracles, but just because miracles took place, some of them still didn't believe. They still rejected the message of the Messiah, that he's Messiah. But notice what he says. He says, "You believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Very powerful statement. Very powerful statement. "I and my Father are one." Let me finish reading. "The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, 'Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?' The Jews answered him." This is what they said. "For a good work, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, making yourself God." Wait a minute. So when Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," they knew that Jesus is saying, "I have the same essence and nature of my Father," that he's claiming deity in very nature. And they rejected him as being God in human form, and they call that blasphemy. And so they want to stone him. But the works he did was so very clear, overwhelming, undeniable, that, wait a minute, this is a work of God. For an example, let me take you, this wasn't part of my thought process in the beginning, but it's coming up. Let me take you over into Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 real quickly. So in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 22. Peter here is speaking to multitude of Jews, and there were Jewish people from different parts of the then-known world having come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And so there's people from every ethnic background that had converted over to Judaism and observation of the law of Moses and so on. And so now Peter is now standing up, being filled with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, and now he stands up and now he's making a proclamation to the people of Israel. He says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it." And as you go on further, he goes on and says, he talks about the resurrection of Christ, verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me finish speaking to you of the patriarch David, that David is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher, burial place, is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses," dealing with the witnesses of the actual resurrection of Christ from among the dead. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he," Christ, "has shed forth or poured out this which you now see and hear." And he goes on and says, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." So here he's giving a message about the earthly ministry of Christ, all right, showing how God set his approval and identification that this is my son. And also we see very clearly that God highly exalted Christ after he resurrected him from the dead and set him in his own right hand and made him both Lord and Christ. So Christ now is in a resurrected, glorified body, having ascended back up into the heavens, highly exalted, glorified, and seated at God's right hand right now. He's alive. And so this all looks to the fact, as we go through the scriptures, that he is who he said he is. Evidence is overwhelming. Not only the claim, but looking at his birth, looking at his life, looking at not only that, his sufferings, look at all the passages of scriptures that foretell about his life and his sufferings. It foretells about his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection. All these things he has so fulfilled. So scripture upon scripture is very evident that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, he is the Son of God. So when you make these claims, they are totally, completely, clearly backed up. So going back to St. John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth." Christ is the full embodiment of truth. He is truth personified. Only thing he can tell you is truth. He cannot lie. He is the way, the absolute only way, the truth, and the life. When it says the life, that comes from the Greek word zoe, that has to do with the eternal life. So eternal life is Jesus Christ. He is eternal life personified. Okay? Now, we see also another case where John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus, and when Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and the Spirit of God came up on Christ, and the voice from the heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then we have in St. Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus is on a mountain called the Mount of Transfiguration. And while they were up there, it was Peter, James, and John, and then Elijah and then Moses appeared, and they're speaking to Christ about the coming suffering. And then Peter got excited and said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles or booths, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses." And a voice came out of the cloud, having overshadowed them, and said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." So we see evidence upon evidence, not only looking at scriptures that Christ has actually literally fulfilled in the life of Christ, from his birth, his ministry, his sufferings, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we'll deal with that more in detail on next week. We're closing a moment. Is he who he said he is? Yes, he is, because he's still alive. Now, real quickly, in Revelation chapter 1, he says, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." So he conquered death. He overcame death by resurrection, showing he has power and authority. Remember, he said, "I lay my life down and I take it again." He did just that. And he said, "I'm alive forevermore." So he's alive right now. So we're not talking about no dead Lord or no dead Messiah, if there could ever be such a thing. Jesus is the true Messiah, the unique Son of God. And he is eternal life personified. Now, real quickly, I'm going to take you to 1 John chapter. And also, Paul says in Colossians that Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, we'll appear with him in Christ, who is our life. He is our life. He is eternal life. He's life itself. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, Zoe. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So right here he says, that eternal life which was with the Father. See, prior to Christ being manifested in human form, prior to him being sent by the Father from heaven to be conceived by the power of the Spirit in the womb of a virgin named Mary to take upon human flesh, he was with the Father. So John, who is a contemporary witness of Christ, says that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Well, who is that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto them? That was no other than God's Son, Jesus Christ. He is eternal life personified. So he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the absolute only way. You want to have a union with God, you want to know the living true God, you must know him only through the way, the truth, and the life. That is Jesus Christ. So the way, the truth, and the life is a person. It's not a religion. It's not about church, a temple, a mosque, or a synagogue. It's about coming to knowledge of the person of God's Son. He is who he said he is. He did what he said he was going to do. He fulfilled the scriptures. He even foretold his own death, how he was going to die, by whose hands, what's going to exactly happen, and that he was going to rise the third day, and these things happen. We should be able to go over that next week. But what substantiated and seals the deal is the fact that he literally, physically rose from the dead. Well, we're going to close out. We'll see you all next week. We should conclude, is Jesus who he said he is, on the final authority. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Stick to the final authority, God's word. And Jesus is who he said he is.
Mercedes, how about letting your hair down a little?
Hey, Mercedes, how about a car for people who don't play golf?
How about something my dad would never drive?
Come on, guys. Seriously?
It's time for a change.
Mix it up a little.
Hey, Mercedes, how about a car I can park in the street?
How about something for a guy who doesn't want a corner office?
Que tal un coche que la medio?
Hey, Mercedes!
Not everyone went to law school.
You've heard of a touchscreen, right?
Hello?
Hey, Mercedes.
I don't even own a tie. You think I need a mahogany dashboard?
Hey, Mercedes, can you make it a little cooler in here?
I'm setting the temperature to 68 degrees.
Hey, Mercedes, is Thai Kitchen open?
We hear you. We made a car that does, too. The 2020 A-Class, starting at $32,800.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network, building a network of love.